The great sage Narada continued, "When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead." I'm very grateful to be with all of you once again, Bhaktivedanta Manor. Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, entitled, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Text 29. Interesting that the title of this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam focuses on terrorism. Sometimes we think how bad the age of Kali is. So much hypocrisy, so much quarrel, so much cheating, so much illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, slaughter of animals, and practically no one can be at peace due to terrorists. This story is taking place in Satyayuga. For any of you who want to stay around and think things get so much better in Satyayuga. And, you know, these big public enemy number one heads of terrorist organizations today, you know, they're hiding in caves somewhere between Afghanistan and Pakistan. They are not even like infant mosquitoes compared to Hiranyakashipu. He was really a terrorist. He didn't have to hide in a cave. He was living openly in Indra's palace, ruling the entire universe. He didn't need to, you know, try to make secret arrangements with Iran or some other country for dirty nuclear bombs or whatever they call them. He had all the demigods as his servants and maidservants. Hiranyakashipu would lift his eyebrow, which indicated that he was about to become angry, and the demigods would tremble and stand before him with folded palms and say, "How could we serve you, my master?" Everyone except Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva was in that position. Go ahead, raise your eyebrows, see who cares. He was a powerful personality. And he was a terrorist. He sent his armies wherever there was yajnas being performed to destroy the yajnas. Wherever there was people following religious principles that did not honor and worship him alone, the priests would be tortured or killed. Yes, today we have these fundamentalist religious terrorists. He outlawed any other religion except the worship of him. That was his religion. Now today, people say that, you know, my religion, or else you should die. They're not talking about their religion. They're talking about them. It's basically the Hiranyakashipu mentality. I and mine. Hiranyakashipu was the I, and these different fundamentalist, fanatical, sectarian religious are just, instead of I, it's mine. If you don't follow my religion, you should die. He was saying, if you don't follow me, you should die. That is the religion. It's just an extension of the same exact false ego. Why are we attached to what's mine? Because it's connected to me. But in your next birth, Srila Prabhupada explained, fighting between India and Pakistan over religious conceptions and political, you know, in the name of, it's political in the name of religion. But because you're fixing your mind so much on your enemy, Pakistanis build a bomb to destroy the Indians. The Indians are built, the great scientists and politicians of India are building bombs to protect against Pakistan, but because they're so focused on Pakistan, in their next birth, they may be Pakistani. Born in a Muslim family, and the same bomb that they created and dedicated their whole life in the next is now pointed toward them and their families, and vice versa. I and mine. Savai pung samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksha cha hoita ki aprati hata yatma supersedati. Srimad Bhagavatam dispels all these egoistic illusions. The supreme occupation for all humanity, the only true religion, is that which brings about the awakening of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And in order to satisfy the self, in order for it to be true and real, that loving devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Unmotivated means no I and mine. Janasya moho yamaho memeti. Samsidhir haditoshana, what pleases Krishna. And not to superimpose my own egoistic conceptions or our egoistic conceptions. Upon what pleases the Supreme Lord. This is human intelligence being activated by the false ego. That what I want, what I believe, is what God wants. Therefore, it is absolute. When false ego takes on political dimensions, it's very, very dangerous. When false ego takes on social dimensions, it's quite dangerous. When it takes on dimensions that affect our interpersonal relationships among our family and friends, it's dangerous. But when that same false ego extends itself to religious doctrines, then it takes on absolute dimensions. What I think is the absolute will of God. And therefore, anything can justify the fulfillment of the absolute will of God. Well, Hiranyakashipu demonstrated this to a very, very, to an extreme historical success degree. For him, everything was revolving around his ego. He was the center of everything. If it satisfied him, it was good. If it didn't, it must be crushed. Not much different than most of us. The only difference is he was really good at it. And we're just not very good at it. You know, who do we crush? What can we crush? What can we actually accomplish in that sense? Hiranyakashipu was so determined. He performed his tapasya, gained the benedictions of Brahma, and conquered the universe. It's not that he campaigned for an election to sit, what is it called, Downing Street or something? 10 Downing Street, is it? You know, to sit there and after a few years be removed because, you know, the voters don't like what he's doing. Or the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of India, whatever. They last for a few years and then they're gone, or they're outvoted, or their office expires. And you have so many enemy nations. Well, he was in control of the universe. And there were no elections. There was no campaigns. It was his. That was his power. But so proud. Intoxicated. Cruel. And in this material world, cruelty is a potency. Everyone did exactly what he wanted because of his cruelty. Because they were afraid of him. There was absolutely no love that had anything to do with his life. It was power and control based on his anger and cruelty. So yes, he controlled the universe. But Narada Muni tells in a previous verse, he was never satisfied. He never found any real contentment because he could not control his senses. He was the obedient servant of his mind and senses. Goswami is one who is actually happy. Because we conquer over this tendency of ego. We don't need to feel importance on the basis of I am the controller, I am the proprietor, or I am the enjoyer. They're artificial and unsustainable, whatever pleasures we gain from that misconception. Because it's all based on a false illusion. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begins his glorious teachings to Srila Sanatan Goswami on the banks of the Ganga in Varanasi. 2 months, Mahaprabhu sat all day, every day, giving instructions to Sanatan Goswami on so many details, from the beginning stages to the topmost stages of pure devotional service. And he begins his teachings with this very simple principle. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of every living entity, our nature, is we are eternally the servants of Krishna. Prabhupada gave an entire series of lectures in various places on these teachings to Sanatan Goswami. And it is interesting because even though we as devotees hear this again and again, that we're eternal servants of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains that verse that Lord Chaitanya is composing, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, is beyond the final conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. In the 18 chapters of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining in elaborate detail, scientifically, philosophically, logically, socially, from every point of view, the laws of karma, the nature of prakriti, material nature, the nature of jiva, the eternal soul,
the nature of Ishvara, the Supreme Absolute, the personality of Godhead, Kala, how time is affecting everything and everyone in this world. It's describing the three modes of material nature and how they bind us and how to disentangle ourselves from those sufferings. And his conclusion, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Isami Masacha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. I shall relieve you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Matya Jim Namaskar Mami Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. We see there are so many scriptures in the world. And the culmination of all of them and beyond is this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam, we have quoted, Sabai Pungsam Puro Dharmo. That is the principle. The only true religion, the supreme occupation, the essence and perfection is the loving service of the Lord. And in this little statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in a very simple and accessible way, he's taking what is beyond total surrender to the Lord and bringing us into that realm of spiritual consciousness. And how does it begin? Jivira Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. To actually recognize and accept the reality that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And to live by that principle. Vrindavan Das Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he writes that the word das, which means servant, or for ladies, dasi, same thing, that is the highest post one can achieve. If we really take the word seriously, what it means to be das or dasi, to live by that principle means you've already gone beyond and transcended attaining all the eight mystic cities. You've already gone beyond mukti, liberation. It's a higher position to be the servant of the Lord, because it is our eternal constitutional position. There is no greater title. There is no greater achievement. There is no higher aspiration than to be the servant of the Lord. Except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took it beyond that. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. To be the servant of 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 the Lord. That is an even higher realm. Why? Samsidhir Haritoshana. Because whatever our occupation, whatever our social status, our success is that Krishna is pleased. Mad bhakta pujapyadika. One who worships and pleases my devotee, Krishna says, gives me more happiness than one who pleases me directly. This is a constant theme of our holy scriptures. Ready, well, have a good day in school. Hari Om, Moksha Lakshmi Devi. Hiranyakashipu would ask Prahlad when he came back from school, what subject did you like best? He was expecting, you know, mathematics or political science or geology. Prahlad Maharaj just very humbly with folded hands and affectionate little five-year-old eyes responded to his father that anyone who accepts this material body as the self, like you, oh best of the demons, have fallen into a deep, dark, blind well where there is no water and only suffering, and you should go to Vrindavan and surrender Krishna. That was not what Hiranyakashipu expected. So yesterday I was at Gauri Prabhu's house, and his beautiful little daughter, I asked Hari Kamala, in the role of Hiranyakashipu, I asked her, because she just came home from school. She was in her school uniform, and I asked her, what is your favorite subject in school? And in the mood of Prahlad, she replied, art. So I was very happy. She was being very gracious toward me. So Hiranyakashipu, he had everything. But he had no peace, he had no happiness. Because he wanted to be the enjoyer, the controller, and the proprietor. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us this very simple principle. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, his biographer, he illuminated this idea so beautifully. The greatest privilege, the greatest honor is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If we're happy with that, we could be happy in any situation. If we want something else, we'll never be happy. Because it's not who we are. It's not real. Our whole conception of our identity and our hope for pleasure is built on the foundation of an unsustainable illusion. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shanti mrichchati. You want to attain peace and happiness? Prabhupada called this the peace formula of Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything. Krishna is the supreme object of enjoyment for everyone and everything. And Krishna's the well-wishing friend and benefactor for everyone. A devotee wants to do good in the world, but a devotee understands I'm just an instrument of Krishna's goodness and Krishna's love. I'm not the doer. Yesterday, we were discussing at our program when there was that enormous forest fire in Vrindavan, engulfing the entire Brajabasi community. No one was thinking, I'm going to be the one to take the credit for putting out this fire. It was beyond all of them. They all united together and with extremely humble, helpless, glances turned to Krishna, and in a unified voice said, "Krishna, save us." And Krishna saved them. This is community. Fires will always be there. Community is when Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was quoting last night from one of the great Mahajans of America, Abraham Lincoln. What was this quote? Can you speak loudly for everyone to hear? May as well have been spoken by Narada Muni. There's no limit to the wonderful things that we can do together as long as nobody is inclined to take the credit. Because as soon as we want to take the credit, then the ego becomes the center, rather than Krishna becoming the center in spiritual principle. As soon as any person wants to take the credit, then there will be unwanted competition. We'll be hoping that other people don't do better than me. We will not be encouraging people to do according to their capacity, because we want to be the one. As long as we want to take the credit for anything we do, then the potential of envy is there between us. And all sorts of individual and collective divisions between us because of different ideas and different opinions, which really come down to who gets the credit. Most ideologies in this world are not so much based on a philosophical platform. It's mostly about wanting to get credit, wanting to be the one, wanting to be the visionary who's going to save the world or save the movement. It's false ego. But if we give up this idea of wanting to take the credit, we could all work together and encourage bringing the best out of each other in every situation. We can all be inspiring and empowering each other to access Krishna's potencies. That's what happened with that forest fire. All the Brijavasis, they all just, "Krishna, we are here for you. This Vrindavan is your forest for your pleasure. Our bodies are only for your pleasure. Our lives are your property." They had no selfish thoughts. It's not that they were afraid of the forest fire because they would die. They were saying that our bodies, the forest, that the homes, the cows, everything is for Krishna. Krishna, for your enjoyment, please save us. Interesting. In America, or in English, not America, America's a British colony that somehow became radical. But in English, there's save, and in Sanskrit, there's seva. I just thought of that. But I can't take credit, I'm sorry. It's always been there. We are saved when we are in the mood of seva. If we're just doing seva, we're saved.
they wanted everything. Krishna was in the center.
And here we find, on a lower spiritual level, we find the same thing going on right in these pages that we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The demigods are all devotees. And they're very, very accomplished devotees, most of them. You don't take that post of on behalf of God ruling the universe and different aspects of that just because, you know, you put on Kanti Mala and join the temple. You have to do some serious devotional activities to take that post. But generally, for most of the demigods, they want to serve Krishna, but they have that mixed karma mishra bhakti. They still want to take credit for some things themselves. Yes, this is a demigod mentality. I want to serve Krishna, but I want to take the credit for what I've done. Which means I don't want anybody else to get the credit for that. Yes, if I say something in a class and somebody else says the same thing that I said and they clap for him and they don't clap for me, that's really, really impossible to deal with.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada made it very simple. Prabhupada didn't say, I am the original, whatever I'm saying is my original material. He could have said that. We never heard any of it before. He said, I'm just repeating what I heard from my spiritual master. That's all. I'm just repeating. Nothing's mine. Nothing's original. Krishna's original. Just repeating. Now, why did he keep saying that to us? Because he was trying to drive home the way we should think. We shouldn't be attached to taking credit for what we do or what we say or who we are. We should give the credit to Krishna. If we give the credit to Krishna, we are transcendental to the modes of material nature. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, victory, defeat, pleasure, pain. We transcend all these dualities when we just give credit to Krishna. And giving credit to Krishna gives credit to each other. To another devotee, if somebody does something nice, we don't say, you didn't do it, Prabhu, Krishna did it. We should be that way to ourselves, but to others, we should honor, yes, Krishna's doing it through you, so I'm giving you the credit, but I'm not taking any. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave all credit to his devotees for whatever he did. One time, Damodar Pandit came back from Navadweep to Vrindavan, to Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, oh, you visited my mother, Sachi? Tell me, how is she? And Damodar Pandit chastised him. How can you ask how Sachi Devi is? She's the very embodiment of devotion. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy to be chastised. He said, yes, it is true. And he said it on several occasions. He said, whatever devotion I have is only because of the blessings of my mother. Whatever inclination I have to the service of Krishna is only given to me by the example and the love of my mother. And he went on and on and on, giving every credit to everything he's ever done to his mother. He took no credit for anything for himself. Right here in London, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, I think it was 1974, something like that. It was Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. And devotees were coming together from all over Europe and various places of the world. It was just after, the day after Radha Gokulananda was installed on this altar where we are sitting today.
very special Vyas Puja for Prabhupada.
The devotees were praising him. And when it was time for Prabhupada's speech, he was giving all credit to his disciples. He said, I'm happy to tell you, he quoted a verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he said, I'm happy to tell you that the publication of Chaitanya Charitamrita is now complete. And he said, and my disciple, my dear disciple, Pradyumna, who I call Pradyumna Mahashoy, all credit goes to him for what he has done to make this book possible. And then he gave credit, he started going into Arundhati, Pradyumna's wife, and this devotee and another devotee. Prabhupada was basically taking no credit for anything, although he did everything. He was the one who was up from midnight till 4 a.m. every day translating and writing purports and through the day as well. He was the one who picked up these devotees who were assisting him from the gutters of material life and spoon-fed and trained them in how to be devotees, teaching them painstakingly step by step how to do what their service was going to be. Inspiring, empowering, and yet he gave all credit to them. And he meant it. This is the transcendental state, when we just don't want to take credit, we want to give credit. Because Krishna is manifesting in the holy name, Krishna is manifesting in the deities, and Krishna is manifesting in the devotees. Whatever we do, if we give credit to other devotees, we are giving credit to Krishna in the most pleasing ways. Because Krishna wants to see our cooperation. Krishna wants to see loving relationships between devotees. And if he sees we're actually genuinely from our heart giving credits to others, we're showing our love for Krishna in a very, very special and serious way. And Krishna's very pleased. Because the fact is, Krishna is manifesting through the devotees. And their association is empowering us. So here we have the demigods. They're devotees, but some of them want to take credit. So they have really big posts. And tremendous quantities of wealth and riches and influence and power. Sometimes they fight with each other too. But in the presence of Hiranyakashipu, they were totally united because they all were helpless and it was hopeless. Just in a similar way of the Brijavasis, when they were surrounded by fire, they all in total unity came to Krishna and said, please save us. There's nothing we can do. All the demigods approach Lord Brahma. And with Lord Brahma, they all approach Lord Vishnu. We are absolutely, totally helpless. We are surrounded by the fire of Hiranyakashipu's powers. The demigods were really like slaves of Hiranyakashipu. They were in a humble position. And because they took shelter of Krishna in a totally humbled, hopeless position, where it was beyond them, where none of them was going to take the credit for saving the universe, where none of them was going to take the credit for anything, because they had nothing left. They lost everything. In that state, they approached Krishna. And because they were all united, if just one demigod would have said, Krishna, you know, I don't know about the rest of them, but please help me.
Krishna wouldn't have come. In all of these stories, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, all the demigods together, unanimously, take a humble position in total unity and cry out to Krishna, save us. Then Krishna appears. This is Sankirtan. All of us together, we give up this misconception. We give up this Hiranyakashipu tendency to be the proprietor, to be the controller, to be the enjoyer, to take the credit. And with one voice, we cry out to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Dis Nityadas. This is what it means to be the servant of Krishna. Deep down inside. You know, anyone can just say, oh, I'm a servant, my name is Das or Dasi, and I have the Kantimala, and I wear a sari or shave my head, and I'm a very nice person, and I, you know, I clean the floor, I make the garlands, I'm a servant. That's nice. That's a preliminary, superficial level. But servant is something of the heart. It's a mentality, it's a state of consciousness. To really be a servant means I want to give credit to Krishna, to Guru, to the Vaishnavas. I'm here for them. To really be a servant means to be united with each other for the higher purpose. And in a preaching movement, what is that higher purpose? To access the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to save these people. Prabhupada, he saved all of us, but what was his mentality? Anjaladutta, he wasn't writing in his diary, I am going to distribute bhakti throughout the Western world by my scholarship and my devotion. No, Prabhupada was writing, I have no scholarship, I have no knowledge, and I have no devotion, but you've given me the name Bhaktivedanta. So Krishna, now it is up to you to fulfill that. I don't have the words. Unless you give me the words, I cannot reach them. So from the very beginning, seeing the blazing fire of material existence engulfing the entire world, Prabhupada was liberated, but he wanted to save us. From the very beginning, Krishna, only you can do it. He gave all credit to Krishna. He gave all credit to his Gurudev. He gave all credit to his disciples. He took no credit for himself. Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. Nityananda is Balaram. Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, who's speaking this story. Narada Muni is the guru of Prahlad, the guru of Dhruva, the guru of Dhruva, the guru of Valmiki and Murari and the greatest kings. Even Kamsa offered his obeisances to Narada Muni. Powerful personality. But here he is as Srivas Thakur. And they're all, and Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. And seeing the condition of Kali Yuga in this material world, seeing the flames of illusion and ego burning to ashes, all goodness, and destroying people's lives, they felt helpless. They were all in their own ways praying, Krishna, if you don't personally appear, there's nothing anyone could do. Advaita Prabhu was weeping crying out for Krishna, offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water. Please come, save them. I can't do it. And Srivas, Haridas, Nityananda, they were all doing the same things. And Mahaprabhu came. That was Prabhupada's mood. Krishna, save them. Let me just be your instrument. And if you feel you're an instrument of God's grace, you cannot take credit for anything. Otherwise, you think I'm the doer. You push Krishna aside, say, it's about me. But if we're really instruments, if we really want to access that spiritual potency, we have to push our ego aside and say, it's Krishna. It's Krishna coming through the devotees. It's Krishna coming through the name. It's Krishna coming through the deities. And it's Krishna coming through me. It's not me. So the demigods are all approaching Vishnu. And when he sees that they're all united and they're really sincere, they're chanting his names helplessly, then he assures them. And we come to this verse today. That when he starts harassing his son, Prahlad, I will come. And even though the demigods were like fugitives, they were like refugees. They had no homes, they had no property, they had no possessions. They were just on the run. Just by the word of the Lord, his promise, I will come to save them. It says here, when the supreme spiritual master, the Lord, reassured the demigods, they offered their obeisances and returned, confident that Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. Just hearing Krishna's promise, they knew it was going to take place. That was their potency. That was their qualification. They had faith. Krishna says, just think of me, become my devotee. You will come to me without fail. And then Krishna says, I promise you this. It's Krishna's promise. If we just take to this Krishna conscious path, bhakti, sincerely, Krishna will save us. If we do seva, we will be saved. And Prabhupada promised us, as Krishna's representative, just chant these 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, don't criticize others, follow what's in my books. Just learn the art of servitude and chant Hare Krishna. And he said, you will go back to Godhead in this life. We just do that. Ananyas chintayantamam yejena paruyupashate tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Just sincerely take shelter. Krishna says, I shall preserve whatever little you have. And I will carry what you lack. This is the path of grace. If we're just sincere. And I'll end this class by once again quoting that beautiful line that I've discovered in Prabhupada's books. I explained it last time I was here. In Mumbai, at our Radha Gopinath temple. I was very, very busy with lectures and meetings and all sorts of other obligations. And I had to give a class. I think it may have been a Sunday program. There was over 1,000 people in the temple and they were all waiting for me and I had no idea what I was going to speak on. Sometimes I ask people, what should I speak on? And if they can just tell me something, they get me off the mental platform. But usually devotees are so humble, they say, whatever you speak will be good. I said, just tell me something. No, no, whatever you speak will be good. Everything you speak is good. I'm desperately begging for some guidance. So I tried that, and I asked a few devotees, and they gave me that answer, that humble answer. Oh, whatever you say will be good. Krishna will speak through you. Thank you. So I got no assistance. So I was in a more desperate condition. So I just, in the room I stay, there's cow dung walls and a straw mat and a small room, and it has books all over the place. So I just said, Prabhupada, tell me what I should speak on. So I closed my eyes and turned in circles 3 times, keeping my eyes closed. Then I pointed my finger like this, and I walked straight. Then I touched a book. And keeping my eyes closed, I took the book off the shelf. And still with the eyes closed, I opened the book. And then I took my finger and put it on a line in the book. And I decided, this is what I'm going to speak on. When you do that in Prabhupada's books, you have to be ready for anything. Prabhupada says a lot of things about a lot of things. So the line that I read, it was Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, what we're speaking on today. And in this verse, I looked at the line, but before going to the line I touched, I wanted to just see, it was part of a purport, I wanted to see what leads up to it before I went to it. And I read the verse. And Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatana Goswami that pure devotional service is very rare. And Prabhupada's explaining why it's so rare. Krishna's conquered by the love of his devotees, so he doesn't give that love so easily. It's beyond liberation. It's beyond all the mystic cities. It's beyond elevation to the heavenly planets. It's beyond elevation to Vaikuntha. And then was the line my finger was on. Srila Prabhupada writes, although pure devotional service is very rare, if one is sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives, Krishna will easily give it. Pure devotional service. That's Prabhupada's promise. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's promise. Nityananda Prabhu's promise. Nityananda Prabhu would go village to village, town to town, house to house, shop to shop, person to person with the same message, with tears in his eyes, folded palms, coming to the most sinful of sinners like Jagai and Madhai, what to speak of the rest of them. Chant Krishna's names, worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna's your mother, Krishna's your father, Krishna's your real wealth, Krishna's your life and soul. Just take Krishna. Whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. Just give up those bad habits and just come to Krishna. Come to the path of bhakti. And then Nityananda Prabhu say, if you just do this, I am your property. I am yours. Lord Chaitanya gave the same message. He told the townspeople of Navadvip, just chant Hare Krishna. Chant the names of Krishna. No hard and fast rules. Do it yourself, or play instruments with your family, with your friends, wherever you are. Just chant Krishna's names. Become a devotee, of servant of Krishna. And then when he walked around the town, and wherever he saw a person taking the path of bhakti seriously, Lord Chaitanya would personally put a garland on them. He would anoint their limbs with
chandan, sandalwood pulp, and he would, with tears in his eyes, embrace them with gratitude. If we are just sincere, serious, and have no ulterior motives, which means Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj's own words, it means don't take credit for anything. To be without ulterior motives means not to take credit, not to want credit, to want to serve, to want to give Krishna credit, to want to give other devotees credit, to want to give the spiritual masters credit, and to be ecstatic and enlivened when they get the credit and we could be an instrument. It's not easy. But if we're just trying to do that and perform our sadhana in that spirit with sincerity, with seriousness, and without that ulterior motive, then we will attract Krishna. And he easily gives to any one of us pure devotional service. It's not a matter of memorizing very high rasic verses. The problem with that is oftentimes it makes us even more proud. I know higher subjects than you, so I'm better than you, or we're better than you. That's not what bhakti's about. Before you can have access to those high subjects, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Bhagisahishna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Unless we can chant the holy names, humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, our heart is not a fertile place for the seed of pure bhakti to grow. Bhakti is about realization of these subjects and Krishna's leelas in our heart with love. Not just about memorization. Whatever memory we have, we should use it. We should develop it. Whatever skills. But it is realized according to our service attitude. How we're unified to serve one another. Give pleasure to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.